It's Friday, October 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show for you. Last one here in the studio for a while. We'll talk about that. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via Studio H overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, we want to welcome you, all of you new listeners to the show, and I'm going to encourage everyone to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check our archive podcast out via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter as well while you're over there. That will get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Your email address will never be shared, sold to anyone. We respect your privacy. And so when you sign up for the newsletter, all you'll receive ever from us is really announcements about the show or the actual show notes. And generally, it's just only show notes. So feel free to sign up for the newsletter and get the content message, basically what's been covered in the podcast, delivered directly to your inbox. As well, make sure you get signed up via iTunes or Zune Marketplace. That way you get the show delivered to you automatically. It gets into your portable media device. And it sounds like I'm like rambling here already at the beginning of the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. And it's been a, I guess, how should I say it, a hectic week. I have had little downtime this week. It's been simply crazy. I've had, of course, we're in a new quarter. We're in quarter four, and that means a new podcast quarter for us, for getting advertising deals, getting all that stuff launched for all our podcasters. And that reminded me, because I actually got to load up a document here. So this, as we talk about sponsors later on, that was one thing I forgot to do tonight, but I'll do that as we're getting going here. So spent, large part of 2 or 3 days really getting all that stuff done. And it's just been crazy. And traffic here in Honolulu has been horrible. I take my kids to school every morning, and then my lovely wife picks them up in the afternoon. And this week I had to do double duty a couple of days and pick the kids up as well as drop them off. And traffic has been, quite honestly, simply horrendous. I spent 3 hours in traffic today, and it's very, very aggravating considering I'm only going like 17 miles to where the kids' school's at to pick them up and come back. And had a couple of things I had to do with the dealer with the car. I'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to start right off today and take care of some business we didn't cover on the last show. We had that AT&T challenge. Basically, we all predicted that AT&T's network would crash when they released the MMS format, and the AT&T network held up, and all of the people that submitted times essentially become a mute point. So I decided to go ahead and do a random drawing. Mike Nelson, he is the winner of a $100 gift certificate or Visa share check card, or not share check, Visa card. So Mike Nelson, I'll be sending you an email tomorrow. So Mike, congratulations on winning the AT&T challenge, even though the AT&T network did not go down. Backing up here a second, talked about being at the car dealer. One thing that happened was is when I picked up the car on Saturday, this car had sat on the lot since January and had been test drove. It had about 200 miles on it, not, you know, really kind of high for a brand new car considering Well, not really, I guess. If, you know, test driving 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times would put the miles on it. But it had some scratches, a black car. So, of course, you know, scratches, any little nicks, any little rubs always show up. And one of the things I wanted to have done was I said, hey, I want all that stuff fixed. And they set up a time for me to drop the vehicle off. I dropped it off today. And they said, oh, come back at 4 o'clock. And I had some stuff to do, so I ran around town and did some stuff, went shopping, you know, really kind of wasted my whole day downtown in Waikiki. And I got back to the dealership at 4, and, of course, they're not ready for me. So I sat there till about 6, and then traffic was horrible getting home, thus the late start tonight for those of you that are on Ustream for the show tonight. So. But car looks beautiful, and I've been playing with this thing. This thing's full of gadgets and technology. Now, you got to just think about this. I have not bought a brand new vehicle in 25 years. The last brand new vehicle I bought was in 1984. It was a Honda CRX. I paid $4,700 for it in Guam. You know, so that was 25 years ago. Ever since then, I've bought and used cars, and really, I run them till the wheels fall off. The vehicle before this, I had 368,000 miles on it. The car that that I'm actually donating to the Hawaii Kidney Foundation that is being picked up tomorrow for them, that has 168,000 miles on it. So it's not like I have drove new vehicles, right? So, you know, I picked up used cars, you know, the power windows and, you know, nothing too fancy with them. But this CX-9 has got this cool feature that I'm really digging. But I can see where it would be one of those things that you could really get in trouble with if you come dependent on it too much. It's a blind spot detector. As long as you're going faster than 20 miles per hour and it sees a car in your blind spot, I guess there's a sensors in the mirrors, that it will actually light up a little light on the mirror on the side that the car is in your blind spot. And if you turn on your turn signal to change lanes, it beeps at you, lets you know that, hey, dummy, don't turn. You got a car right there in your blind spot. And that's a little aggressive, especially for Hawaii, because generally when we do lane changes here, because of the traffic flow, there's not a lot of separation between vehicles just because it's tight. And we're usually going like 10 miles an hour anyway. But very cool technology on that. And I have to – it's kind of funny because my wife told my youngest one on yesterday evening, she says to Chris, you're going to ride with Dad in the morning. He has to go to the car dealer to drop the car off. And Chris, like, starts screaming, oh, no, don't take the car back. He thought I was taking the car back to take it back. Little did he know it's not possible. And he came in here screaming at me, don't take the, you know, five-year-old screaming at me, don't take the car back. And I'm like, wow, that didn't take too long to get attached to. So I explained to him, no, they're just going to work on it, blah, blah, blah. And he was cool with it. But we did decide to donate the 95 Volvo 850 wagon that I drove to the wheels. Quite literally, I've almost fell off. We've donated that to the Hawaii Kidney Foundation. And if they get more than $500 for it at auction, they'll give us a tax rebate, which is fine. But they'll get the money for it. And that does bring up one of the reasons why we donated to the Hawaii Kidney Foundation is I talked about in a previous show how my wife has an uncle whose brother died. Actually, my wife's uncle who died recently, who they were going to the uncle that's alive that needs a kidney was going to be able to get the kidney from his brother who was passed away. And he's being kept alive on life support and so forth. He went through a battery of tests. Made the trip to San Francisco, was all prepared, was in the operating room, ready to go. And I didn't share this on a previous show, but they determined the kidney that was from his brother was not in good enough shape and was not able to do the transplant. And I just want to share with you guys, you guys all know when my dad died, he had already signed a donor card, and because of the trauma involved in his accident, there wasn't a lot of they couldn't salvage organs, but they were able to salvage retina and a number of different items that you're able to actually take and provide as donor. And we got a very interesting letter back from the person that was the recipient of that of those retinas, and what really makes me tell you guys all this is, you know, if your religious beliefs allow you to do so, please, 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 you know, consider donating your organs. A lot of people are in desperate need, and if something tragic would happen to you, then there's a possibility someone can benefit from that. And I'm an organ donor, and my wife is as well. So I just wanted to bring that up as a afterthought to everything that's kind of went on. But lots going on, and family-wise, so we have to take care of, go to a funeral on Saturday. Now, here in Hawaii, things are kind of that way. Most of the people are cremated, so the funerals are 3 to 4 weeks after an event. And so that's happening this weekend, but pretty busy before I kick off the head out on Sunday to the East Coast. Of course, Sunday, we also start the 2009 Podcast Awards. That gets kicked off. So I got my company that's actually does all of the management of the website. They're all ready to go. I've cross-checked everything over there, and I think we're good to go. I'll know when I get to D.C. if something's went wrong, because I'm going to be offline when the nomination period opens. One thing I don't know if I talked about on the last show, we've revamped the website over at Raw Voice, and I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on it. If you go over to rawvoice.com, check out our newly designed website. We had decided that we'd spent a lot of time on our basically podcaster sites at blueberry.com, techpodcast.com, podcasternews.com, and our vertical partners that we have with the ProMed Network and the Travelcast Network. And we basically took some time and revamped the website. So far, we've gotten positive reviews, but I'd love to hear you guys' feedback as well. Okay, very, very busy month. Very busy month ahead. And as we've talked about already, October, I will probably only be doing one or two shows here from Studio H. I'm calling this now. This is the new nickname for the studio. But I'll be doing the rest of the shows this month via my mobile unit and in hotels with the crappy bandwidth. But so I'll be gone out of here on Sunday, get into D.C. very early Monday morning, hopefully get into the hotel and get some sleep and able to put out a show Monday night. So expect those of you that are on the East Coast, expect maybe around 6 or 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be up live from my hotel room doing the show. So be advised on that. So if you want to catch the show live, you'll be able to. And then on Saturday, I fly back to Honolulu. And basically, I do a quick turnaround. I get my clothes washed. I repack my suitcase for Blog World. And then I head out Wednesday evening to Blog World. That goes on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, very, very early in the morning, I fly out of Vegas and head for Florida. I'll be down in around Disneyland area, around Orlando. So I'll be down there for that week. And then I come home that Friday. I'm home for the weekend. And then I fly out to San Francisco. I'll be back down in Silicon Valley the last month of October. So pretty nuts. October is going to be a massive road trip. You guys will be along with me for the ride. And if we've got listeners in any of those locations down in Florida, of course, in the D.C. area, and of course, out in Silicon Valley, I look forward to hooking up with you guys when I'm out there. Hey, let's take a few minutes here, of course, and take care of the sponsors, and we'll get into the tech content that you've all came for. The new listeners are probably going, what in the heck is this show all about with just all this chatter? Generally, what I do for the new listeners is I take a few minutes at the very beginning of every show and just kind of catch everybody up with what's going on here and keep people updated. I do want to, of course, welcome some of our listeners from the Virgin Islands, Barbados, Uruguay, Bulgaria, Chile, Albania, Ecuador, Estonia, Guatemala, Hungary, Indonesia, Puerto Rico, and Romania. Those are just some of the 159 countries that listen to the Geek News Central podcast. Thank you guys for being in attendance with the show, and thanks for being subscribed. Pretty cool to see listeners come in internationally. Hey, as always, in the new month is where I basically take a few moments and thank our sponsors. GoDaddy has been with us now since, I guess, June of 2005. That makes them here well over 4 years. Been a consummate supporter of the show. You guys have supported me by supporting and buying their products, their domain names, their dedicated servers, their virtual dedicated servers. Really, it helps keep the lights on, helps me do what I do, helps us keep podcasters getting their money in their pocket. They've been a great supporter of the podcasting community and the show. And, you know, if you get over to GoDaddy and you're looking for a online web-based product or domain name, don't forget me when you get to the checkout counter, because I got some great codes for you. TODD will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale will get you $7.49.com, including renewals. Todd20 will save you 20% on orders. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. Actually, we've got a listener that took advantage of our Todd20 code and actually is getting a rebate payment from us, part of our one show promotion that we talked about. And of course, Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Now, I had was working with Andy McCaskey. We were going to have a tech podcast roundtable on Saturday, but it just turns out, boom, my wife says, "Hey, dummy, you've got this funeral you got to go to." I said, "What time do we have to leave for that?" And she goes, 11 o'clock. And I said, "Oh, man, no way, no how can I do the roundtable this Saturday?" And then Jeffrey is Jeffrey was from the Geekazine podcast. He was going to be one of the presenters as well, and he's a musician at night, and he has to do sound checks during the day, so it just didn't come together. So we're going to push the GoToMeeting session, or actually the Tech Podcast Roundtable, which is sponsored by GoToMeeting, a week. Now, here's what you can do. You know, you can save a lot of time and money by using GoToMeeting. You know, face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues is always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle and is often a complete waste of money. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. With just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your desk. GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Host 5 meetings or 500 for one low flat rate per month. Plus, you have the voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast, as well as GoDaddy. They help me keep the lights on, and it is much appreciated at all of your support of the particular sponsors. All right, looking at my list here, did I get through everything? I kind of bored you guys, I'm sure, a little bit at the beginning of the show. I think I've got everything covered. Yeah, I think I do. So, talked about the podcast awards. I want to thank everyone that volunteered. I think we've got enough volunteers now. I've had quite a few people basically say, "Hey, I want to help out this year," and that's huge. It's really going to help us when it comes to nomination review period, which will start in about 17, 18 days from now. So look forward to that. Hey, I want to thank Jim Williams for his invite to Google Wave as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show here. Okay, let's go ahead and get right into the, get into the content finally, right? And let me actually close that tab. I don't need that one up. And let's start right off. The first article that I want to talk about tonight comes from Microsoft.watch.com. I don't know how many of you caught this. There was a Wall Street Journal article along with a lot of business companies or business magazines and online sites have basically talked about the cut in salaries of the Microsoft executives. And it's pretty interesting here, you know, that we're seeing a cut in salaries. But what I was surprised about, and some of you may think this is too much, but Steve Ballmer, his salary is in around the range of about $1.28 million a year. Now, he can get some bonuses as well, but what shocked me was that his salary was essentially only $1.28 million. There's people in the company, there are other executives that make more money than him. You know, for a multi-billion dollar company, I would have thought it would have been higher. But on average, their executives received a pay cut in the order of, I guess, what was it, 6 or 7%. And that was across the board on a variety of different board executives. Bonuses were cut as well. And, Steve Ballmer's bonus was cut by 14%. So he only got a whopping $600,000, but you see these some of these bank executives and so forth that have these huge ridiculous salaries, and then you think one of the biggest companies on the planet for tech size, and Steve Ballmer's salary is just $1.3 million. So I'm sure there's lots of other bennies he gets as well. His probably total compensation package is worth more. But it is nice to see that Microsoft was losing money, or not losing money, but had lower earnings, and they actually cut their executives' salaries and were very public about it. So I think this is good. I'm sure it was probably some SEC filings that they had to make as well. So are any of you working for companies where the executives are having their pay cut? Have you heard anything in the companies you're working at? Because many of us, I'm sure many of you out there, have had pay cuts or on furlough days because of the economy. And, you know, you've had to take a little bit of hit to the pocketbook just to stay working. And I know there are a lot of folks out there that are still hunting for a job from being laid off. So, you know, even though their compensation packages are huge in these executives, at least, you know, they're feeling a little bit of pain and taking a cut. I want to say congratulations to Nick Bradbury. He's released Feed Demon version 3.0. And as Nick says on his blog, it really has been a long time coming. So if you have been using a beta release, go ahead and upgrade to the full version of 3.0. It's a free upgrade. And he goes through and talks about all the new enhancements and features to the Feed Demon. I tell you what, Nick, what you need to do to make me come back to Feed Demon is you need to incorporate Chrome into Feed Demon. That's about the only way I'll come back and use it on a regular basis, is I want to use Chrome instead of Internet Explorer as my main browser when we're loading up different articles. But congratulations, Nick, on updating Feed Demon to version 3.0. Over on GigaOM, there's a good article about botnets, and it's the title of this article says, "Botnets are tightening the grip on the broadband infrastructure." And botnets, you just wonder how much of an impact they make out there. So there was a study done by Symantec that talks about botnets out there and how much traffic they're actually adding to the network. From this study, they have found that botnets, autonomous and automated, of compromised computers are responsible for 87.9% of all spam that is being sent on the internet today. It says more than 150 billion unsolicited email messages are being distributed by compromised computers every day, according to this report. Its findings are in line with data reported at a recent RSA conference on botnets and warnings from Google and others about them. So Microsoft, to battle some of these botnets, just recently, actually the day before yesterday, released their new, basically it's their malware program. Basically you can put it on the computer, it'll scan for viruses and Trojans. That's available for free from Microsoft, and it's gotten some pretty good reviews. Talked a little bit about it on the last show. I'll have a link up to it in this show tonight, so if you're a Microsoft Windows user and you want to download that program, you can do so. But it basically talks about a little bit how machines are being compromised today on these different botnets. Now, I have to admit that Google has done a pretty good job in keeping my spam down. I haven't had too many issues with spam with Google, and a lot of it has to do with I think they just have real good filters out there, and that is a that really can make or break it when it comes to being productive on the internet. So what I just did, I just switched to another camera, and it doesn't want to change views. That's nice. I wonder what's going on with that one. It's dead. It doesn't want to switch views. Not good. So I'll come back to me for those of you that are on Ustream. Let's check and see if this camera decides it wants to actually move in. For those of you that listen to the audio portion of the show, you're like, oh my goodness, why is he talking about this? Well, I'm sitting here trying to flip buttons and stuff when, yep, everything's dead. I have no control of any of my cameras right now. So oh, the view is what it is. That's weird. That's never happened before. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on from the botnets. We'll get into an article here by Scoble. Google Wave crashes on beach of overhype. And again, I want to thank Jim from sending me an invite to Google Wave. And I logged into it and was kind of playing around a little bit. Didn't spend a lot of time on it. And did not really tell anyone that I had gotten an account either, because I was afraid all of a sudden I was going to be started added to a lot of conversations. But Scoble's pretty critical. He's saying that that it's way overhyped, that it results in a lot of unproductivity, and that for a guy that uses Twitter and FeedDemon relentlessly, not FeedDemon, but FriendFeed, this is quite a statement by him to say that. And if it's causing him to be that much more unproductive. There's a Toddism for you. Unproductive. Jeez. Being that much more unproductive makes me want to stay away from it. But he goes, the thing that bothers him the most is that it's far worse than email, because when you're in the system, as you're typing stuff, people can see what you're typing, even the typos. So if you start to type something and you think, oh, I better not say that and back it up, it's too late. Someone can actually see what you have chatted, and it allows people to jump ahead and having this, this almost a conversation. You know how when someone's talking and they get halfway through a sentence, if you understand what they're saying, oh yeah, I understand that. And, you can kind of chop the conversation. That's what they're trying to do with Google Wave, especially in their chat session. But the thing I don't like about it is that anyone, as long as they know your Google Wave account name, they can just add you to a conversation. So if you're in a conversation with somebody in Google Wave and someone adds you and you go and respond to the other one, and the other person may think that you're just kind of ignoring them. I think Robert's right. I think it's oversold. And his advice is, do not add everyone. If you get an account, get a close personal friend or coworker to play with this, and don't publicize that you're using it until you can deal with the productivity hit that you take here. Don't assume this is a Twitter killer. He says it's not. It's not even a good sharing engine, far worse than FriendFeed. I'd recommend using a private room over on FriendFeed first. He says do try the API if you're a developer. He says that's probably where the real value is. And there's some screenshots, some variety of developers out there. So if you haven't got an invite, don't fret that you've missed one here and that you're missing out, because I don't like the idea of people just automatically being able to add me to a conversation. I think I should have the option to say, no, I'm not interested right now. And instead of having to being forced into a conversation with people, or, someone jamming something down my throat. If you have, it should be like Twitter. You should have authorized people that can send you stuff or add you. It shouldn't just be anybody under the sun. So hopefully they'll get some of that worked out. But lots of negative reviews online. The exception to that was over on GigaOM, where it says Google Wave makes its biggest splash yet. And to me, this kind of looks like a little bit of a puff piece by the folks over at GigaOM. I don't think that they really use the product. as compared to the other folks that actually were actively using it and saying, hey, we got, there's some issues here. So I have the link up in the show notes if you want to see their article as well. Hey, congratulations to the folks over at Yext, Y-E-X-T. They were one of the folks that demoed at the TechCrunch 50. They were able to score $25 million in venture capital funding, which is huge. That's a huge amount of money. And I think part of the reason why they were able to raise that much money is they're a company that's already on business, that are already on track to generate revenue this year. And there's a prediction that Yext is going to be pretty huge. Now, for those of you that are starting businesses or want to see what the dedication and passion level you have to have doing a new business or startup in the online space, you need to watch the video. Now, I'm sure you guys aren't really super interested about the $25 million in funding, but the thing that intrigued me was the $25 million demo they did at TechCrunch 50, and they really did a good job. They really, really did. So I have this linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. Again, it's a link off of TechCrunch, but congratulations to them in this, you know, this economy scoring $25 million in funding. All right, we talked a little bit on the last show about the individual that had put up a poll on Facebook that implicated harm, you know, basically a poll on whether or not someone wanted to harm the president or not. The Secret Service was able to ID the individual that did this. Turns out it was a Juneville. In other words, someone under 18, a Juneville. And here's the surprising part. Here is the surprising part. Secret Service agents who investigate all potential threats against the president spoke with the child and the parents and determined that there was no intent to harm the president. And in quotes, this is something we classified as a mistake on the juvenile's part, the spokesperson Donovan said. So they're not going to haul him off to jail, but I am sure that this kid, can you imagine? Knock, knock, knock. Sir, I need to speak to, you know, you answer the door and you're the kid. And these two guys are, or three guys or four guys are standing there in suits with earpieces in, sunglasses. And they take you into the living room and have a discussion with you and your parents. Can you only imagine the discussion? I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and actually seen that poor kid squirm. I think it would have been a really, really good one. So anyway, they're not going to do anything to the kid. I guess the little thing that discussion they had with him and the parents was enough to get him on track. But what a way to get get exposure, national headlines. All right, the antivirus blog, AVG, over at AVG.com, from Roger Thompson's subsection, talks about an automated Facebook attack underway. There's a lot of, basically, there's a bunch of bogue accounts being set up, and people are friending a bunch of folks on Facebook. And it turns out this gal's profile, she has a video on there, and you guessed it. When you click on the video, it launches one of these applications. Say, oh, your computer's infected. You need to install this software. So this is a typical ploy here to entice you, to jump in and actually get malware loaded on your computer. So if you're all of a sudden someone tries to friend you over on Facebook and you don't know who they are, and all they have on their profile is a video, don't click on it. Be careful out there, okay? All right, over on CNBC.com, General Electric, who owns NBC, is in talks to give Comcast 51% ownership of a new unit. This is interesting. Comcast denied this today, but it's still making the rounds on a lot of different sites, so they must be in heavy discussions right now. The deal under consideration, according to sources, would allow Comcast to take 51% economic control of NBC Universal through its contributions of content assets such as the E Channel, Golf Channel, and a group of regional sports networks, and the contribution as much as $7 billion in cash to the new company. So this is an interesting spin. Comcast, cable provider. Now they're going to own NBC Universal and some of the channels that go along with it. Interesting spin. I don't know how to analyze this at this point, but to say it's an interesting move. It's like Time Warner going out and buying CBS or some, you know, it is an interesting move. What do you guys think? What do you think's the end goal here? But a lot of discussion about it online today. But Comcast users, hey, NBC Universal might be, part of your new channels offering. Or all their, it probably already is, but it's probably be some more online stuff here soon if this goes through. All right, rumor blog, basically, and this was on a variety of blogs, Computer World broke it, said that Apple's purchase of a company called PlaceBase in July is basically a very quiet program they have on track to replace Google Maps. Now, I don't know about you, but if Apple all of a sudden replaces Google Maps on my iPhone with another service, I think I'm going to be a little unhappy. Now, obviously, you can get there different ways, but the integration is pretty good right now. But PlaceBase, they very quietly bought this company. At the same time, they very quietly closed the company. And the CEO and founder of it, who was in L.A., is now part of what's called a GEO team, G-E-O team, at Apple, whatever that might be. So we could see Apple going to a position where they essentially replace Google Maps in lieu of their own solution, which is could prove to be interesting. All right, we talked a little bit about SideWiki on the last show, and as I analyze this more and more, I'm in the camp I don't particularly care for it. So what is your guys' thoughts on SideWiki? Is this Google essentially trying to control all commentary on the web? Or is this, as Mike Arrington points out, the latest way to deface websites? Where do you sit on the SideWiki, platform right now? How many of you have loaded SideWiki onto your browser and are commenting on blogs and websites through the application or through the service in lieu of making comments on websites? Now, so far, no one has been writing SideWiki articles on Geek News Central. Probably saying that is setting me up for failure here. Probably someone will do that. Longer I think it remains unannotated, the better. But where do you guys think this is going to go? And as a reminder, really what SideWiki is it allows you to load a plugin into your browser. When you go to a website and you want to make comments on an article or the website itself, you log in via your Google account, and you can actually leave a comment about the website or article on really the sidebar of the browser in lieu of maybe leaving a comment on the website. So, you know, I'm sure Google is looking for ways to, continue to dominate in the, on the web, and this is just a further extension of that. For those of you that are federal workers, hey, I need you guys to pay attention here. Federal employees are no longer allowed to text while driving, according to an executive order signed Wednesday by the president. The order covers federal employees when they're using a government-provided car or cell phones and when they're using their own phones and cars to conduct government business. Separately, the federal government plans to ban text messaging by bus drivers and truckers who travel across state lines and may also preclude them from using cell phones while driving except in emergencies. The transportation secretary announced that these are one of several measures that are going to be going to effect. These new rules signed by the president affect 4.5 million federal employees, including military personnel. So I would foresee here, and this is just the start, but I would foresee a groundswell starting where we are all going to be banned from actually making phone calls in our cars anymore. That's the push here. They're saying that talking on the phone while driving, while even using a hands-free device, is dangerous. Now, my new vehicle, I push a little button on the driver's panel, and a little thing shows up on the dashboard. It says listening, and I say call, Shoko, home, and the system says, do you want to call? And it gets speaks my voice, Shoko, at home, and I say yes. And it dials my iPhone through Bluetooth and allows me to connect. And the audio is really good in the phone. I thought, this is really, truly hands-free. You know, my idea of hands-free with my 95 Volvo was my, my Bluetooth stuck in my ear and then juggling the iPhone to make sure I, got it dialed and switched into Bluetooth mode and then was able to talk, which was, I admit, that probably wasn't real slick to do, especially while on the move. And one thing I also found interesting was the built-in GPS in this vehicle, when you're on the roll, does not allow you to update your destination. You actually have to be sitting still, because my wife reached over today and was playing with it, trying to get it to change, and she couldn't do it and was a little aggravated. And I said, well, honey, it's basically saying we can't do this while we're moving here. And it's a safety feature. So I think what we're going to see, cell phones are going to soon be illegal to talk. You're going to be forbidden to talk on your cell phone here soon. So in your cars, I just see that coming down. Now, part of that is a result, and it's a good article over on Gizmodo, where someone that was texting while driving has resulted in one death, one felony, and seven misdemeanor charges. It looks like a 17-year-old gentleman is facing second-degree felony and seven first-degree misdemeanor charges for texting while he was driving and caused an accident where an individual was killed. So I foresee here, when you are driving down the highway, and let's say you're not on your phone, I foresee a day here very soon where there will the police department, as just part of a record, will pull your cell phone call log and see if you were actually on the phone during the accident. Now, not only that, these computers inside these cars have gotten pretty smart, and I'm sure they're already being used in court cases where, a death or something happens or someone is injured, where there is a lawsuit in place where the computers are pulled and basically the data is pulled to see if you were speeding or what you were doing prior to the accident, because these computers in these cars today are registering that. So it won't be too long before, we're driving down the highway, and just like that movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in, it'll print us out a ticket every time we make an illegal lane change or we go over the speed limit. Big Brother is definitely watching. Technology, my friends. All right, Google results flog millions of compromised websites. This is a little troublesome. And Google's not the only culprit here. So is Bing and some other websites, search engines primarily. Two ongoing scams are tricking Google and other search engines into prominently displaying millions of compromised web pages that attempt to hijack end users' computers or steal their credit card numbers, researchers said. They did a study, and just on a single search term, if you plug in the phrase cheap Vista for students into Google, that resulted in over 19 million pages found for that particular search result. Most of them going to a site that's called, and don't go to this, softforpcs.com. And what that website does is try to load malware onto your computer and actually steal information if you have a browser that is compromised. Along with that, there's if you're own a car and you're looking for, let's say, used Corvette parts. Now, that's another term where over 3.2 million pages were found that were infected with malware that basically linked from Google and Bing straight to those particular websites. So it's getting to the point now where, unless Google and Bing get their act together and able to, start removing some of these bogus sites, the day of the search engine being gamed is upon us, and we may all have to resort to physically typing in domain names again, because obviously with all the trickery that's going on against Google for these people trying to, bypass or, get you sucked into something that you shouldn't be on, is growing. And it's pretty scary. It really, really is. Hey, over in the UK, an individual that created a fake Twitter account has gotten served. Essentially, Twitter has been given an equivalent of an injunction to pass up the information of a fake account that has been writing Twitter posts on a certain person, trying to impersonate him and really saying some pretty nasty stuff. So this individual wants to go after the person that is impersonating him and remove the post, and also probably going after him in a legal way. So if you're out there and you have an anonymous or fake account on Twitter and you're Twittering about someone, at least in the UK, looks like, this is what individuals are going to now to find out who actually owns the account. So be forewarned, okay? Probably those of us here in the United States as well. All right, big news out of the ICANN, and actually I got a press release from GoDaddy in support of the ICANN cutting the cord to the U.S. government. There's been a document that's been worked on for nearly 7 years. It's a document they call the Affirmation of Commitments. The Affirmation of Commitments was a document with a number of statements on it that basically ICANN lived up to. They added a seventh paragraph, essentially giving international stakeholders more say in how ICANN oversees the Worldwide Domain Name System, or DNS. The only really control that the United States government now has is really they have asked ICANN to essentially remain headquartered in the United States, and they have agreed to do that. Under the agreement, the ICANN remains a private nonprofit, but its accountability shifts away from the Department of Commerce. While the U.S. government will still have an oversight position, ICANN's internal reporting will now go to reviewers selected by its own government advisory committee, and foreign governments and companies should have more say in the process. So this is pretty big. Now, some U.S. senators were not happy about this, and some of these concerns were alleviated by ICANN agreeing to remain headquartered in the United States. But the new paragraph added to the Affirmation of Commitments, what will be linked up to the article that I'm referencing here from, will be in there. And I'll talk a little bit about GoDaddy's response to this as well when we get into the email section of the show tonight. So good move on ICANN's part, I believe. All right, those of you that are using the app on your iPhone called Docs2Go, the Docs2Go application has Excel as one of the applications available, and you can review in Excel, XLS, and XLSX documents. So you can create new spreadsheets as well. So I don't know how many spreadsheets I'd want to create on an iPhone, but it is capable to do so now with Docs2Go. I love that little app. It's one that I have loaded on my iPhone that I use quite a little bit. All right, Microsoft has announced that they're going to launch a Windows 7 compatibility site, and I thought this would have been out already. But on Thursday, Microsoft said it will launch a Windows 7 compatibility website in bid to help consumers determine which of their products will be supported under the new operating system. They say that it will unveil the Windows Compatibility Site website the Windows Compatibility Center website before the launch of Windows 7, and the site will house a database of all the products that are currently compatible, which ones have issues. So we'll see when this happens. But Microsoft has said in the Windows Ecosystem Readiness Program, they now have 50,000 developers from 17,000 companies using the technical resources to ready their products for Windows 7. And really, we are very, very close to Windows 7 release here coming up approximately 3 weeks from today. Those of you that are hearing impaired, or those of you that are vision impaired, be advised that recovery.gov, the new, 9.5 million dollar website that can you imagine $9.5 million spent for a single website is not accessible. It fails accessibility standards, and this is bad. Here, you know, they spent $9.5 million and they could not get it, so it was, you know, sight and hearing impaired compatible. So now it's online and it's not in compliance with Section 508 of the Federal Rehabilitation Act. So this is a baseline expectation. It's out there. So there you go. Your government dollars at work, folks. $9.5 million for hey, sign me up. I want to, like, do some of those websites for that kind of money. Ridiculous. Hey, remember we talked about in the past how the New York MTA, I guess it's the Mass Transit Association or something to that effect. I probably got the initials wrong or the actual name of it wrong. But remember how the MTA took this stance toward folks that were putting out iPhone apps and so forth with the schedules and the maps of the routes and how they were threatening independent developers and demanding large licensing fees? Well, I guess they have kind of figured out that they shouldn't be doing this, and they're backing off some of their earlier threats and letting some apps move forward. And they don't have an official policy on this yet, but do admit that it makes sense to evolve to keep up with what people are doing. And they basically admit they never really thought about this, and the whole idea that someone else might make an app for them seemed kind of weird. Welcome to the new world. This is oh, gosh, probably some 75-year-old bureaucrat running that thing. All right, this will make you feel good, those of you that are worried about privacy. Lawmakers have caved to the FBI in a Patriot Act debate. Powerful senator leaders on Thursday bowed to FBI concerns, adding privacy protections to expiring provision of the Patriot Act could jeopardize ongoing terror investigations. And as we all know, the Patriot Act was adopted shortly after 9/11, and it really greatly expanded the government's powers to intrude into private lives of Americans. And I guess during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, Senator Patrick Leahy and Senator Dianne Feinstein both introduced last-minute changes that would strip away some of the privacy protections, and that was really fought back against. So we'll see what happens here. And the FBI is essentially getting what they want. The folks at Wired have a huge write-up on this and some of the commentary that was made and went forth. So I'll have this course link up in the show notes. I got to point you guys. This is an absolutely mind-blowing picture. It's over on airliners.net, airliners.net. It's a picture of a Delta IV launch, unlike anything I have ever seen before. What this guy did was he took a very, he doesn't say how expensive the camera was, only that the lens to the camera was destroyed, and he set the camera up with no protection and basically had it sound activated, and as the Delta, and it's close, I mean, like mind-numbing close to this rocket launch. And the Delta IV rockets are about, I'm going to guesstimate 50 feet off the ground when this picture was snapped. Stunning. Simply stunning. Now, as the Delta IV climbed out, the tripod and the camera and everything else went flying. The sound activated trigger that caused the camera to start taking pictures was essentially everything came apart. Camera was good, but they say that the decibel level at the specific launch site, or where this was actually at, was around 180 decibels. Now, hearing loss really starts happening when you're not immediately, but when you are subjected to hearing sounds over 100 dB. And you can cause hearing loss over long exposure to that. Actually, 98 dB is, I think, one of the critical points on where you start getting some actual damage to the those little hairs inside your ears and so forth. But this was 180 decibels, and essentially would be could make you deaf. But what a sight it is, and I have the link up in the show notes. I think you'll find this pretty cool. The second image of the day is just as amazing, and I can't wait until they actually take a picture of a Apollo landing site. But this is a spectacular view captured as part of the scattered NAC light test during the LRO commissioning phase, when the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter was basically taking some initial pictures of the moon. Totally amazing. This is the moon like you have never seen before, and it is remarkable. The pictures are simply remarkable. I can't wait. Again, it's high enough def that you should be able to zoom on this picture a long ways before getting pixelation. So I have this link up in the show notes. It's unlike the moon I've ever seen, so you guys can check it out, okay? All right. You know, my kids have a hard time waking up to alarm clocks. So I've always been looking for, you know, solutions, different type of alarm clock solutions. This one here is not too unordinary, and is basically, this is really a plain Jane alarm clock that maybe you really wouldn't want to have in your house. I don't think my wife would allow me to. But how many of you, when your alarm clock goes off, you kind of are disoriented and you look over and you have to kind of cock your head a little bit to actually see what time it is as you're slapping the snooze button? I'm sure majority of us do that. Or you have to turn the clock a little bit to actually see what time it is. Or in the middle of the night, you wake up and you want to know, okay, is it 5 a.m. or is it 2 a.m.? This clock will actually mount to the side of your wall in your bedroom. So as you're sleeping and you open your eyes, you don't have to adjust your orientation. You get a straight-on view of the clock. So they've just provided a way to mount it. So I wouldn't own one, but maybe if your wives will let your ladies, don't let your husbands buy this alarm clock. But it is an ingenious idea to mount it to the wall. All right, over on Engadget. Windows 7 Party Pack finally arrives on party-filled Cayman Islands. The Windows 7 Party Pack has arrived for one guy that's going to have a party 21 days ahead of the launch of Windows 7. And included in it, it looks like a little bit some handouts, a copy of Windows 7, some napkins. What else is here? Looks like some sort of a... something you can put up and basically have as out as a display. So yeah, this is like a regular PR kit. Comes in a box, looks like pirates or something on the side. I don't know what the actual graphic arts is, but hey, if you're having a party, you can, and you're have been approved, you can see what Windows is going to send you for your party kit. And it looks to me like about $10 worth of stuff. They really went all out. They really did on putting this together. The box is probably worth more than the stuff that they provided. All right, paid apps are going to hit the pre-store tomorrow. Palm WebOS 1.2.0 is available. It's about a 79 meg download, and you're going to be able to get over the next couple of days. And once you do, you're going to be able to have access to paid apps via the pre-store, so the pre-app store. So an announcement on that was made today. All right, how many of you have got one of those digital frames on your, either on a desk or in your kitchen, or basically it flips through and shows different images? Have you ever had a friend or somebody over at the house, oh, that is a beautiful picture, I wish I could get a copy of that? Well, leave it to the folks from iMo Photo Frame. It's not only a digital photo frame, but it also has a printer built in. So when you have a friend or family member that just falls in love with one of the pictures they see on the screen, it will print out a 6x4 glossy print at 300 dpi from a replaceable cartridge. It contains enough paper and ink to print 36 prints. Now, it costs you $14.99 to replace the the cartridge to print 36 images, and you can buy this unit for $229. So this is definitely an item that would be on the, how should I say it? If I was had too much money than common sense. Oh, I don't know. Would you guys buy this? Geeknews@gmail.com. Call across the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Have you guys heard about the Nissan crash avoiding robot car? You guys heard about this? Last we saw Nissan's crash avoiding BR23C robot car. It was rolling along, taking cues from some sensors in order to survive. Well, anyway, they built another one, and essentially what this thing is it's a little device that they hope will go in a vehicle that will basically protect people from crashes and so forth by using laser rangefinders, be watching for obstacles and so forth. I have a link up to it in the show notes. I'm sure at some point this will become part of a standard Nissan vehicle release, but this is all in test right now. All right, a West Point grad, hey, give it to the Army guys. Has built a $300 homebrew street view camera. He's got it on his Jeep Wrangler. It's got, looks like a 2x2, and he's got it mounted to a plate with, it looks to me, what kind of cameras has he got there? You guys have to check this build out. He's got a GPS built in, but he's got a device that will, you can see his laptop in the passenger seat. So that's really sophisticated here. But he's got his own street view camera system. Now, if this guy is at West Point, he may be trying to come up with a design that will help, maybe some sort of a application where the Army would use this driving specific routes. And maybe using it as a way. Now, I'm just saying that this is, he's probably getting some ideas on what it will take to give soldiers some tools to see their surroundings ahead of the time by, taking pictures within combat zones and so forth of different street scenes and so forth. So pretty cool. And we'll see what happens with that with him. So a cool idea on his part. All right, I've got a couple of voicemails. I actually got like five or six from my new friend in Vegas, and I haven't had a chance to listen to them all. I need to go through and listen to all those voicemails. They weren't, I didn't want to play them on the show, but I've got two here tonight from listeners that I want to go through and play. And then, of course, I've got email here, so we'll get through that. Again, comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Let me go ahead and fire off the first voicemail here.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. I've got two things for you. The first thing is, hey, don't worry about going gray. I'm 36, and I'm starting to show signs of that. So,
sorry.
Hey, no worries. It's a sign of something. I don't know what it is. Something, maybe. I forget what they say about that. Just being not elderly necessarily, but smart maybe. How about that? The other question I've got for you is I sat in on a press conference in which I had to give kind of a report based on the podcast that I do for my industry. And basically, I had mentioned the fact that, as more and more media sources out there, newspapers are folding up, what I'm seeing is that articles are being picked up by other news organizations and other websites and whatnot. What I'm really finding that kind of scares me a little bit is the fact the Associated Press is picking up or is reporting on many news articles out there. And at the bottom of every AP story that I have read is there's a disclaimer, copyright notice about, this article may not be rebroadcast, redistributed in any way, shape, or form. My question to you is as a podcaster, by linking those kind of stories, which I do in my podcast to my show, I'm not breaking the law, am I? I mean, I would think that I'm doing similar to you as far as just basically talking about these news articles that I find that relate to my industry. I would hate, and I'm just a little guy, so not a hype, but just on the show size. But I wonder if there's ever going to be a day when the Associated Press becomes the sole media supplier of online news, and you have to pay a subscription, or more than a subscription, because even if you pay for the subscription, I don't think that they like the idea of redistributing those kinds of articles. So anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on that, because I'm worried about seeing the day when the Associated Press is the only news organization out there, and they go after anybody who is basically redistributing it, and whether or not a link from another website is considered a redistribution link or not. I just wanted to get your two cents on that. So anyway, enjoy the show. Keep left. I get caught up on them. I'm a few shows back, so don't worry about that gray hair. You're going to get more of it. As am I. All right, Todd, you take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, I think what's going to happen there is that so long as you are not, how shall I say it, reading their article verbatim on your show, as long as you're paraphrasing and adding your own comments and opinions, I don't think there's a thing they can do. You know, because first of all, I try in this show to, on every article I try to mention the website. Sometimes I miss, but I always link to them in the show notes with usually my own custom title. Very rarely do I may read a paragraph out of a site or a sentence, but I usually, you know, have my own commentary wrapped around that. I think as long as you're doing that, that's fair use. I'm not a lawyer, but I can't imagine that they would come after you for that. Now, if you wholeheartedly read their article from end to end and repurpose their art and don't give link back to them, yeah, that could you could be setting yourself up there for damage. But I think as long as you are providing your own commentary and feedback, hey, this is a free country. You got an opinion. You're allowed to express it. And, you know, that's like someone being on CNN or Fox or MSNBC or any of the other stations and the individual making a comment about something that maybe you don't agree with, and then you go out on a make a blog post and say, hey, this specific individual on this specific network said this and I don't agree with it, and then they come back on you and say, hey, you can't say that. That's, you know, redistribution of our content. No, I don't think so. As long as you express your opinion, you should be good to go. So unless someone else thinks I'm wrong on this, love to, you know, hear some more feedback as well. But geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, thanks for calling, and stay safe out there in Chicago. Okay, next call is from one of our, I think this is the second time he's called, and I think he's out of California. Actually, he is out of California. So I'll go ahead and play the second voicemail.
Hi, Todd. This is Jose Alvarez from the great state of California.
Hey, Jose.
Just want to give my comments on the topic about the cell phone usage and the relationship to getting brain cancer. I think there's some evidence that using cell phones, you could get some brain damage or whatever, because cell phones use microwaves, you know, similar to microwave ovens, you know, television stations, antennas, and radio stations, antennas, you know, they send out microwaves, you know, and, you know, even cell phone towers, you know, and all those may cause some damage to our body, you know. And I think there's some certain level of damage that we receive, you know. But the relationship between getting tumors or cancer, well, that's something separate, I guess. I think we have to have more research on that, you know, to come to a concrete conclusion. You know, but that's something that everybody needs to take in account, you know, if they want to use their cell phones or whatever. Think about it. Even if you live near a cell tower or a radio station antenna, you might feel kind of tired or whatever. And a lot of research have said that it's caused by the microwaves that those antennas produce, you know. So, you know, there's some evidence out there, some research about this. But anyways, that's my point of view, my comments. Keep up the good work. I love your show.
Hey, Jose, thanks for calling, and thanks for the feedback on the cell phones and you know, some phones having a higher radiation pattern than others do that we talked about on the last show. You know, having spent 24 years in the Navy and having worked around electronics that entire time, specifically I worked a lot on radar and RF energy when I was active duty. You know, there was, you know, we were always very careful. You know, when you're talking about a high power radar system, you're actually shooting, when you actually go active with a radar, you're shooting microwave signals at very high power levels out of a feed horn. It's very directed, high energy levels, which if you're too close to that antenna, you are going to get hurt. And we would have standoffs that would be 250 feet, for example, for a multi-kilowatt radar. And, you know, just as a safety zone. And you would have to have people to make sure no one walked across that area and so forth. So, and that's, you know, high power stuff. And we were really, really cautious of it. Having worked around other equipment in the past, you know, every piece of electronic device has, you know, it depends on how it's built. I'm sure there is a certain amount of, you know, there's electronics. Electronics are doing strange things in there. So, you know, they're probably, you know, everything has a certain amount of risk in using it and exposure. I don't think cell phones are any different, but we know cell phones are transmitting, and that's transmitting an RF frequency. RF frequency is essentially a radio wave at a certain amount of power. And, you know, a lot of people will, you know, that who knows what those, you know, you're looking at, you know, at very low wattage, but still it is a certain amount of power that's being transmitted out of the cell phone when you're talking on it. And that right up next to your head, you know, I think I would be, you know, a little bit concerned too. But, you know, I've never taken a cell phone and analyzed anything on it, and I'm sure that the FCC, that's what their job is for, to make sure that these things are maintaining the amount of power that they're supposed to. But it is worth thinking about, you know, considering, you know, we're all aware that when we go get an X-ray, and essentially X-rays are, you know, a certain frequency, and it is radiating you. There is a risk of getting, you know, if you get too many X-rays, you can, you know, there can be an exposure issue. Why do you think lab techs who work in radiology wear, you know, the badges that shows how much radiation exposure they've had? So, you know, if they think that's bad for you, if you get too much, then obviously, you know, the cell phone thing could be as well. So, well, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll all know in 10 or 15 years when all of us get brain cancer from having our phones next to our head for hours and hours on end. And, you know, I guess that's probably another reason why you want to go Bluetooth as much as possible. At least the Bluetooth device, its power levels are even lower. So, you know, although it's still stuck in your ear, so that, you know, I don't know if that's any better than a cell phone or not, but. Thanks for the call. All right, first email is from Jim. He's talking about the Tweety 2. He's very upset. So are a lot of other people. Those of you that have the Tweety 2 iPhone app, or actually the Tweety app, are very upset that the developer on there, who charged X number of dollars for the app initially, has said that the Tweety 2 app is completely revised and has a lot of new features, and people are going to have to pay for it again. So, you know, you can't blame the developer, I guess. You know, if he's putting a lot of time in, sales have, you know, leveled off, and he's looking to make a little more money on the app, and he puts a bunch of new features in it, yeah, is it worth getting paid for? Well, that's how you pay for software today. So I think we're seeing more of this as time goes on. Will you guys pay twice for an app if it's upgraded, or is it all based upon what new features you are? Anyway, I'll have the link up to this. Thanks for the link, Jim. Appreciate it. Got an email from Joe. He said, "Hey, Todd, you're a stronger man than I. There's no way I would negotiate for a car for 8 hours. I hope you love that vehicle." Hey, as I said, Joe, when it's all about the dineros, buddy. If you can negotiate, if it's $1,000 an hour to negotiate the price down, that's time well spent. It really, really is. Now, if I would have been, I'm a Costco member, and in all honesty, if there would have been a dealership in Hawaii that was essentially did the Costco car buying deal, I'd have just went through that. And then I would have paid just a little bit over factory invoice and not went through any of the hassle. But there was no Mazda dealer in Hawaii that was affiliated with the Costco car buying program. And those of you that are getting ready to buy a new car, check that out if you're a Costco member. Not an endorsement, but you can check it out and save some money. Got an email from Charles. He says, "Hey, Todd, there's a real need for electric cars or hybrid cars running in electric-only mode to make more noise. While in college, there were several occasions when I was forced to jump out of the way when campus security came whizzing around a corner on their electric carts. The maintenance people had gasoline-powered carts, and those were announced ahead of time by the distinctive sound of a two-cylinder engine. Dense fog could only make this worse. Like I said, when you're in the San Joaquin Valley, and it's February, and you have one-line fog, those of you that live in California have drove up I-5 in the morning hours or at dusk, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is no fog any thicker on the planet than that, at least from what I've experienced. And come up to a corner and have to listen for a vehicle, you could hear a car coming, but you couldn't hear a, you know, electric car. Someone's going to get killed, I'll be honest. But so I agree with you here, Charles, on that. He says, on the fun side, I can already see that an electric sound system will be hacked. How long will it be until we hear the snarl of a V12 Ferrari and turn to see an electric smart car trundling by at 20 miles per hour? Yep, the next hot item for download, drive tones for your electric car. Keep up the good work, Charles. Charles, that's a multi-million dollar idea. And I probably shouldn't have said it on this show. That is a multi-million dollar idea that you ought to do that. Because you know, as these hybrids get a little older and kids start buying them because, you know, they're broke, don't have money for gas, and they want cars that get 45 or 50 miles to the gallon, you're going to be guaranteed kids are going to be buying these vehicles used. They will definitely be looking to maybe get on that action. Got an email from John. He says, "Hey, Todd. Been using Flickr's video option for short videos for some time now. It has been especially useful with the World's Art Prize going on here in Grand Rapids. It has an all-electronic public voting system. You vote by texting using the iPhone app or their website at Art Prize, which is at artprize.org. is way surpassing all expectations. There are 1,262 artists at 159 venues in a three square mile area in downtown Grand Rapids. It is huge with tons of people interacting with art and each other like no other festival. It is a photographer's paradise. I have over 1,100 photos and like 18 videos uploaded so far. My Flickr set," and he's got a link for it here. I'll have this up. He says, "The Art Prize Grand Rapids Flickr group is also," he links it up, and of course he provides me his name and his Twitter account. John, very cool. And how's the quality? I'll just check your videos out and get an idea on how the quality is on their conversion. But thanks for the link on that and the feedback on Flickr video. Got an email from Joey. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm sure you've seen this, but I wanted to send the link just in case you didn't. Apparently, CNN is the first news agency to charge for its iPhone app. The line in the article that jumped out to me that most referred to the conditioning of consumers into handling over their money." He said, "The line in the article that jumped out to me the most," okay, "referred to the conditioning of consumers into handing over their money. Thanks for the show, Joey." And he's got a link to this. I have this up in the show notes. Yeah, it's all about, hey, you got to pay him. You got to pay. Give us money, right? I think it's doomed for failure. I really do. As I said, I got an email from the folks over at GoDaddy. And GoDaddy's CEO and founder, Bob Parsons, says, and this is about the ICANN announcement on the affirmations of commitments. He says, GoDaddy welcomes the affirmation of commitments between ICANN and the DOC. That's the Department of Commerce. We are very pleased to see ICANN's commitment to this new review process, which will ensure we maintain the private sector-led bottom-up policy development. It's an important step in the commitment to transparency, accountability, and stability. We are also encouraged by the positive message this sends to the global internet community that international interests are important to ICANN and its community. It's a healthy move for the internet. Again, Bob Parsons' statement on the ICANN's affirmation of comments between ICANN and the Department of Commerce. So thanks for GoDaddy for forwarding that over. Got an email. Oh, Alan, congratulations on your hosting account, and thanks for your email. You've been getting a nice little bonus from me. Got an email from Sab in the UK, and I knew that my latest show would bring us have some folks have some comments on global warming, and these are Sab's comments. He says, Todd, I couldn't just let your comments at the end of the show slide. First, over 99% of climate scientists are in agreement over global warming. Send me that link, Sab, where it says 99%. I'd like to see that link. But there is a significant disparity between what is being written in journals and what the media is reporting. Number two, we are not doing our bit. If you look at the graph here, and this is a link to a I don't know if this is a university or not, but he provides it. Oh, it's from a recent book by a professor at Cambridge. Yes, places like China are emitting a lot, but that's also because they have much larger population. If you think about it per person, the world average is about 5.5 tons of CO2 being emitted per person, but the U.S. average is 4 times this average, and the U.K. is 2 times this amount. Three, actually, they do care. People in less economically developed countries are, as you say, concerned with putting food on the table, but that doesn't mean they're unaware of what is happening around them. I was talking to a polar explorer the other day who was saying that the Inuit people in Baffin Island are seeing birds and animals they've never in their history seen before. They're seeing the seasons change and even the change in tides. As the saying goes, if everyone does a little, we'll achieve only a little. Doing our little bit only gets us so far. Sorry, Todd, for this little rant. I didn't try to keep it brief as possible. I know it's not techie, but it had to be said. Keep up the good work. Regards, Sap. You know, we all know that human populations having an effect on the planet. It's a big planet. It's a big ecosphere. Lots of opinions still abound. I'm not saying that one way or the other. I'm only trying to bring forth different views and different opinions and just show you guys primarily that there's still a huge amount of diverse opinions about what's going on in the planet. And anyway, thanks for your comments. I do appreciate it. Provide the feedback. Got an email from Tom. He said, hey, Todd, left your voicemail yesterday. Again, wonder if we're going to see a shift where the AP is on top of all the news as published. And he goes on to say, I hope that the president is joking at the fact that bailing out the papers. Heck, if the government has extra money to spend, they can help me pay my mortgage. Hey, Tom, you and me both, brother. You and me both. And actually, there was a... Oh, and again, Jim, thanks for the invite to Google Wave. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365. It's my pleasure. Next show will be on the road from the nation's capital. I'll be out there for a week. Look forward to providing a show from the heart of the political capital of the world. I guess I just made that crap up. So everyone take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. And aloha.